Welcome back. Matt Mittler here with Kaufman's Holiday, Part 2. The Man in the Tunnel. We've relocated to White Plains, New York for the time being, but don't expect some suburban frolic. This is, after all, Sunday Night Noir. So let's get down to business, shall we? Specifically, Chapter 45. Continued. Ever think the universe is trying to tell you something, but you're too dense to listen?
All the time, Yeshiva.
Kaufman and the colonel lay across an open bedroll on a freshly shingled patch of roof. Had to climb a paint-spattered ladder to get there, but it was well worth the expedition. The sliver moon barely cast a glow, and stars shimmered in the velvet sky. More howls, but further off in the distance. The colonel cradled his bottle, raised the tip to his lips.
Served in 2 world wars. Paratrooper in number 1. It's a lousy life. Saving the world should make you feel good enough. Justice sure needs its champions.
Justice? Where the fuck's justice? You think killing people is justice? Even if they killed other people, what kind of justice is there for the dead? They're dead.
Well, it's a job, I guess,
Kaufman mumbled.
You do the best you can. That's all I'm trying to do.
And does it make you feel good?
The colonel took another swig. Kaufman reached over and snatched the bottle, tossed it off the roof.
What the fuck?
The colonel sat up and glared at him.
Listen, Colonel. Babe, I'm so...
He took a long breath, spoke slowly.
I gotta tell you, I don't know what feels good, but I know what feels good when I'm drinking. Well, that's a lie. It's a comfortable lie, sure, and it's an easy one, but it's still a lie. And I know I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but it's just heads up more lies, and getting out of it is like, well, it's like chopping away at a morass of prickly thickets. It's like the way my life usually is. Babe, look at me. I'm clean right now, and it's rotten. It's tough as hell. And I can't say how long it'll last. But I need you to be with me here. I need you to help me out.
You're a stinking rotten guest, Kaufman.
Don't I know it?
And you owe me a bottle.
After you set me on my way.
The colonel ran a weathered hand over his tired eyes. A tiny tremor set off under his soiled tee.
First thing was the smell. We noticed it more than a mile away, before we even crossed the moat to the camp. You can't imagine the stench. Your throat closes up. Then our unit was sent out to the tracks. Boxcars. We opened boxcars. 39 of them. Each one crammed with corpses. Rotting. Putrid. Men retched. It was just a tangle of shriveled skin and bone. Arms, legs all knotted up together, lying in the same twisted pose they died in. The first car knocked us out, but then the second and the third. Some of the boys just passed out. The rest of us were plain dumbstruck. I could hardly lift my arms. It was like moving through some sick ooze. 39 cars. Horrible. You can't believe it. They were cutting them in from Buchenwald. Probably planning some more creative way to bump him off. Why not just shoot him?
The colonel went mute. He looked over at Kaufman, turned away and traced a finger along the crease of his palm.
They said the train was slowed because the U.S. had bombed the tracks. How's that for a helping hand? We killed every fucking Nazi we caught that day, Yeshiva. Fuck the white hankies. This was the end for Germany. They was gonna take down as many as they could along with them. Dachau was packed with prisoners from other camps. Thousands more had been sent on death marches. Dora was one of the camps that had been vacated. Heard there were hardly any prisoners left, let alone Nazis. An SS Red Cross would have entered first. Then our men. Your Walsh kid. Wouldn't have been much to do except round up the living and get him to the medics. And I tell you, they all needed medics. If they lasted that long.
He stopped again. When he continued, his voice dropped a few decibels.
I saw people who didn't even look human. They scared me. I couldn't look at them. It wasn't just the hollow eyes and the arms like sticks and skin where you could see every vein like you could see through it. Open sores, lice and maggots, rags hanging, feet shuffling through the dust, barely inching forward. It was like, what are these? What's left of a man when you do that to him? They're like alive, but not alive. A dead body. I can look at that. I've seen that. I know what that is. But these people, they tried to hug me, kiss my hands. I couldn't look. I just couldn't look in their eyes. In their eyes. Like I shouldn't be alive. Like I didn't deserve it. Being alive next to all of them. What kind of victory is that?
Another pause. Then, barely audible.
No one's printing any of this yet. About the camps. The prisoners. But they will. There'll be pictures too. And they'll fucking haunt you to the grave. But seeing it for yourself, or living through it. You know, it's not just about the Jews. There were lots of people in them camps. Poles, queers. But most of them were Jews. And they were the worst off. They were the ones you really wouldn't want to see. I ain't much of a Jew, Kaufman, but by God, the Jew part of me, that part'll never be the same again.
Kaufman had nothing to say. What could he say? He laid back and surveyed the evening sky. Wondered if there even was a God. Chapter 46. Up late, both of them, they hovered over the kitchen counter, two bums at the bar. The colonel gazed into his mug, spoke softly to Kaufman.
What's this case to you?
I don't know, Kaufman murmured. I really don't know, but I gotta see it through. The colonel took a sip from his mug, winced.
Made some inquiries in town for you yesterday.
Kaufman straightened up.
Don't go acting all surprised. You knew I would.
Just didn't know when, said Kaufman with a hint of a smile.
The general who would have been in charge of Walsh's platoon, he's still over in Germany. Not sure he'd tell you anything. He's the one what sent your boy back a hero. He's got an aide named Samuels. Ashkenazi, but don't hold it against him. He's a good kid. Might turn over a stone or two. Anyways, that's where you gotta go.
Germany?
You thought it would be easy?
Germany? That's... how am I gonna manage that? What am I supposed to do, take a cruise?
You wanna crack your case?
Of course, but there's a Red Cross transport flying out of Boston Monday morning. Not unusual for a journalist to tag along. Ever use a moniker?
A moniker? Yeah. Mo Koffler, Look Magazine.
Ain't I on the money? You already got the creds.
But that's just, I'll need papers.
No problem.
No problem?
Do I need to say it in Yiddish?
You got Jews that connected?
Who's talking about Jews? This is the officers' club now.
Kaufman tilted his head and looked at the colonel. The colonel gave him a wink.
What do you say we finish up our little project before you take off?
There wasn't much clearing left to tend to. They worked together, side by side.
Can't go it alone in the army,
the colonel said.
That's a team sport. You don't do nothing alone. You can't. A team. You gotta have a team, Kaufman. Jews, army, family, whatever. You got family?
Got a brother. That's how I found you.
Brothers, brothers.
He shook his stubbled head.
We was wild. Rube died in the first war. Milty got sunk heading for France in 43. So much for families. Not likely I'll ever start one myself.
Kaufman stopped.
Me neither, I guess.
He dropped a tangle of brush to the ground.
Hey, the past is the past, right? Gotta look ahead.
The colonel laid a hand on the back of Kaufman's neck, steered him forward.
What do you see?
They stopped in silent admiration. The clearing was complete.
I'd say it's time to claim our just rewards.
And with that, the colonel began to disrobe. There's a certain element of competition among men regarding the nether regions of anatomy. Reason enough for Jews to avoid sports. Kaufman cringed. Unabashedly naked, the colonel had raised his arms in exultation and was davening before the pool of water. He was courteous enough, however, to turn his back while he peed on a tree and called to Kaufman over his shoulder as a healthy stream issued from his bulbous schwanz.
Rube's was bigger!
The dip was more than refreshing. Wounds soothed, baptized by the hallowed waters of White Plains. Kaufman lay on his back, floating. Above him, an arena of trees framed a canopy of vaporous clouds. God had returned. Hallelujah. The new suit was removed from the garment bag, the old one trashed. Kaufman could grab a shave later. He climbed into the jeep, and they rumbled off to the station. As the train pulled in, the colonel brought out a small wooden box from his trouser pocket, opened it, and withdrew a long silver chain.
For you, Yeshiva. Had it a long time.
Kaufman squinted.
Dog tags?
The colonel held up the chain. A cylindrical charm hung from a loop at the bottom.
It's a mezuzah, schmuck!
A mezuzah? You don't know what a mezuzah is?
Of course I know what a mezuzah is. You're giving me your mezuzah?
It's a present. Your bar mitzvah. Mazel tov.
Chapter 47.
Jeez, Mo, you're turning Hasid on me?
Been roughing it.
Kaufman rubbed his scruff.
What you got?
You even look in a mirror, Shylock?
Just give it to me, Putz.
Goldstein peeked over his shoulder down the street. He spoke in a cagey whisper.
Mara didn't come in today. Seems they got some swanky event at the cottage.
Tonight?
Tomorrow. Sounds lush. Lots of big shots. Caterer, the wakes. Meanwhile, found you a colored fella that handled the grounds.
Handled them May 19th?
Oh, yeah.
How'd you manage that little nugget?
Hey, I'm a professional, Mo. Can't reveal my sources.
Anything else?
A wicked grin widened Goldstein's face.
It's true what they say about librarians, my friend. Charlene is one hot tamale.
He leaned in for added emphasis.
But we best slow it down. Starting to get a blister on my pisha.
Friday night, but neither of them would be making it to Shoal. Goldstein had a date, and, for that matter, so did Kaufman. He was aching to see Allegra, but business came first. Besides, she'd probably have a gig, and he didn't feel like risking another encounter with Deuce. He headed down to Holland Street, back along the wharfs, Jimmy Fry's territory. Losers and lushes and, possibly, one lone landscaper. The fellow dwelled at number 29, and he was there on the stoop, brown bagging a beer, when Kaufman approached. There were 5 Negroes, to be exact, but only one fit the bill.
Mr. Logan?
He singled out a wiry older man in denims, hang-dogged with a droopy lower lip. Kaufman expected no resistance from him, but his coterie presented a somewhat different impression.
What you want with Slim?
One youth blasted. The other 4 flanked the boy's side.
He looked like one of them Smith brothers, right on a box,
joked a slope-headed runt. He bared his whites in a minstrel grin.
You selling cough drops, Mr. Smith?
They erupted with laughter, all but the menacing youth.
Mister, you best get your ass out of here!
He was rolling up his sleeves, ebony biceps bulging. The rest of the gang whooped and hollered. Kaufman had had enough fighting, and his knee was acting up again.
Listen, I don't have any gripe with you people, he said carefully.
What people is that, Mr. Smith?
The youth raised his chin in the air.
Who say we don't have a gripe with you?
All right, here.
Kaufman reached for his wallet, figuring a bribe might be in order. The hooligans figured otherwise.
He going for a gun!
One of them shouted, and they were on him in a flash. Kaufman whirled around, grabbed an arm out of the mob, flung the first attacker over his back and slammed him into 2 of his brethren, kicked 1 in the chest and another between the legs, spun again and sent an elbow into the neck of the jokester. They vanished around the corner, and the demonstration of self-defense came to a close. Slim Logan stretched out his lanky frame, shot his bottle overhand into the trash, and strolled over to Kaufman.
"Don't mind them boys,"
he offered in a reedy voice as thin as his frame.
"They're just looking for some excitement."
"I guess they got their fill tonight."
Kaufman picked up his hat, brushed it off.
"I was only trying to fish out my wallet."
"Well, it's a good night for fishing."
Kaufman eyed the gardener. There was a weariness about him, but he stood tall. He'd probably worked for the wealth of Newport his whole life. Probably never enjoyed a minute of it. Kaufman removed a $10 bill.
"Name's Kaufman. How's this for your time?"
"It'll do for starters."
Slim's bony fingers delicately pinched the 10 spot. He held it in the air like he was flying a kite and headed down to the docks.
"I suppose you queried Harlow,"
he sang over his shoulder.
"Won't give me a crumb. The whole crew's mute."
"That don't surprise me, but I doubt they could help much. Not likely any of them saw anything."
"But you did?"
Logan opened his gangly hand, held it out like he was feeling for rain. Kaufman pulled another 10. The hand slowly closed, but Logan continued to look toward the sky.
"Police question everyone. Everyone who was white, that is. I've been on the grounds, focusing the luminaries, the landscaping lanterns. Mr. Walsh likes to keep staff on hand for social occasions. Make him feel like the genuine slaveholder. I didn't catch much. There was a scream. Mr. Patrick was falling. And then the music stopped."
"You don't seem too shaken up about it."
"Why should I be?"
They'd reached the edge of Coddington Wharf. The pier swayed with the current, pylons groaning.
"Mara must have been some kind of ally. Works for your people."
Slim's lower lip curved up like a slice of melon.
"If it were rile her papa more, that girl would have entered a convent."
Kaufman imagined her, scapular billowing in the breeze.
"That's a handy fact," he said. "What else?"
The palm reached out again. Kaufman retrieved his wallet and said goodbye to another Hamilton.
"I began asking questions. Just among the staff, mind you. We coloreds know our place. Then, following the chain of command, I mentioned to Harlow that I thought I should talk to the police."
"And?"
"And the very next day, I was conveniently released from my servitude."
"What did you want to tell the cops?"
"That I saw somebody leaving the balcony."
Kaufman sucked in the side of his cheek.
"After the drop?"
"Only a shadow. I was quite some distance away."
"Male, female, tall, short?"
"I told you, it was only a shadow."
"But you're sure?"
"If I wasn't sure, I'd probably still have my job."
Kaufman stepped back from the weathered rail.
"Good stuff. I appreciate it."
He looked out at the harbor. Evening had fallen, and the air had turned damp and chill.
"One more thing, Mr. Logan."
He ran his fingers under his bristled chin.
"Did you happen to get a look at the body on the ground?"
"Most certainly did. Washed the blood off the flagstone myself."
"Nice. Can you show me how it looked? How he landed?"
"You are asking Slim Logan to prostrate himself before you?"
"That's not exactly how I'd put it, but..."
This time, Logan stretched out both hands and gracefully bowed his head in reverence. Thank you. Chapter 48. What was Walsh doing holding court not a month after the murder? Kaufman burst into the Hotel Viking and charged up to the front desk. It was the annoying clerk again.
Gerald around?
You are not a guest here, mister.
Kaufman grabbed him by his stripy tie and yanked him over the counter.
Just get me Gerald. Now.
So, Gerald, you got all that straight?
Yes, sir.
Do me a favor. Repeat it for me.
The boy tugged at the waist of his Eton jacket.
I'm supposed to rent a tuxedo first thing in the morning, with gloves. Then at 4 o'clock I go to Horizon House on Ochre Point, and if anyone asks, I tell them I'm with the caterers. And if I'm late, I apologize. And if I'm early, I apologize. Then I keep myself busy, but I avoid the head caterer. And then at precisely 8 o'clock p.m., I go to the back door of the kitchen, and I look for you, and I let you in when the coast is clear?
I didn't say coast is clear.
I know, but isn't that the way they talk?
The way who talks?
Spies?
Kaufman shook his head. Just continue, Gerald, please.
So, okay, once you're inside, I stay near you, but I never actually look at you. And no matter where you go or what you do, I stay nearby. And if anything happens to you, if anything bad happens to you, I'm supposed to deliver this note personally to Maura Walsh?
He held up a small envelope.
Oh, and I always carry a tray with empty glasses on it. And I don't talk to any guests.
Pretty good, Gerald. Your mother would be proud.
The boy lit up.
Oh, can I tell my...
No. Now, here's 10 for the tux, and 50 for you.
50? That's an awful lot for a busboy.
You're not a busboy, Gerald. You're a spy.
Right.
The boy grew pensive.
But Mr. Kaufman, sir?
Yes, Gerald?
I'm supposed to be working here at the Viking tomorrow.
Don't worry, kid. I've made arrangements.
No point contacting Maura. Undoubtedly, they'd connected Horizon House. And the least she knew, the better. But Kaufman still had one more item on his agenda.
Psst! Eli!
Now it was Kaufman's turn to play secret agent. He lurked in the shadows outside the Oneg.
Eli!
He whispered a little louder. His brother was sampling the Vino Rosa with a few Shabbos stalwarts. He cocked his head and stepped to the open door.
Eli, over here.
Kaufman motioned with a quick wave and retreated back under a maple. Eli came forward, his posture growing more constricted with every step.
What the hell are you doing here? I should kill you myself. I just wanted to apologize, Eli. Apology not accepted, Moses. Eli, please, I'm not going to explain or defend myself.
I was wrong. I feel terrible. My wife is a wreck. Try living with a threat to your family to feel terrible.
I know.
You don't know. You're right. I don't know. I know. I'm sorry. I just wanted you to know. Good. But I'm not telling Judith and the children. That's fine. I didn't expect you to. What's that supposed to mean? Nothing. It's nothing. I'm really, really sorry, okay? For everything.
Eli bestowed him a begrudging shrug of the shoulders.
No one can see you, he lectured. At least not until all this Walsh Michigas is over.
I'm invisible.
Good.
Kaufman braved in advance.
I was wondering about that knife, Eli.
Oi, now he wants back the dagger.
Well,
I keep it for protection, you stunk.
Eli opened his suit jacket. The knife was fitted to his elastic braces.
Has anything else happened?
Kaufman asked.
No, but if it does, I'm prepared.
Eli reached into his jacket and pulled out the K-bar, brandished it like some Meshuggah musketeer.
I didn't know you were so accomplished at self-defense.
There's lots of things you don't know about me.
Eli replaced the weapon.
So, did you find your Colonel Suick?
Yeah, thanks to you, he's going to lead me to the Promised Land.
Good, I'm glad. It was very difficult getting that information for you, I'll have you know.
I can't even imagine. Must have taken you hours.
Practically the whole day, and I had to make calls long distance. Do you know what that costs?
Well, you did great. Really. Need me to reimburse you?
No, it was... It's not necessary. So, how close are you?
Close. But I gotta take the scenic route to get there. I gotta go to Germany.
Germany?
Yep.
Eli took off his yarmulke and folded it in two. He slid it neatly into his breast pocket.
Germany. That's Germany. When?
Monday morning, flying out of Boston.
You're going to fly?
Yep.
On an aircraft?
Yep.
In the air?
That's the usual trajectory. I'd be terrified had I time to think about it.
Well, Mazel Tov, then.
Mazel tov to you too, Eli.
Kaufman stepped into the light and took his brother's hand.
So, what's with the beard?
Eli asked.
You turning Hasid on us?
Mission accomplished. Kaufman could now see to more private matters. He headed over to Marsh, already airborne. Two brisk knocks and she opened the door and popped him right on the beak.
Where have you been? I was worried about you.
Ow. Nice to see you, too.
When'd you get back?
I don't know, around 5?
She punched him again.
Christ! What's that about?
You get in at 5 and don't show up till midnight?
Thought you'd be working, or...
I don't work every night.
Well, you should. You're good.
You could have called.
You have a phone?
No.
Then how could I...
That's not my problem, and the beard's gotta go.
Right away, sir, I promise. Listen, Al... I missed you like crazy.
Don't go trying to suds me now.
Allegra, just...
But before Kaufman could say another word, her lips were mashed onto his, arms crunching his spine.
I'm thinking about going on tour. She rolled onto her side, ran her fingers through his hairy chest.
Oh, yeah? When?
Starts next week. Deuce is in Chicago making arrangements. He was silent. She dug a nail into his armpit. He grabbed her wrist and they wrestled.
How long?
Not long.
How long?
Couple of months. He pinned her, looked in her eyes, got up and started to dress. Afraid I'm gonna sleep with some other white man?
Nah, I'm afraid you're gonna sleep with some other Jew.
What? You're Jewish?
She pounced on his back and took him down. They stayed down for another hour. That night, Kaufman slept sound, until an unusual odor awoke him. The acrid aroma should have been a tip-off, but it was the tobacco that roused him first. He pried open his eyes, caught the flare of the lighter. A figure, seated at Allegra's vanity, darkly silhouetted in the mirror. The orange glow of the fag revealed everything he didn't want to know. The hat tipped down, the collar turned up, and the gloved hand holding the bottle, a wet rag twisting out of the spout. The figure lifted the Molotov cocktail and gestured a toast, took out the cigarette and touched it to the rag. Kaufman sprung out of bed. He went for the figure as the bottle hit the floor. The explosion blew him back. Allegra threw herself against the headboard, grasped the blanket to her breast and screamed. The figure darted out the door, limping. Kaufman wanted to go after him, but tore himself away. He grabbed his jacket, tried to smother the blaze. It spread across a hooked-loomed rug and onto the bed sheets. He reached up to Allegra and pulled her off the bed, shoved her toward the door.
Run!
He shouted. She stood still, reached out a hand to him and shook it wildly.
Run!
He repeated, and she did. He yanked the mattress off the bed and slammed it onto the rug, balled the burning sheets in his hands and tossed them out the window, turned back to the mattress and slid it over the remaining flames, lifted it, smoking, onto its side and shoved it out the door. He kept the mattress moving, out of the apartment and down the steps, finally crashing through the front door and onto the street. He doubled over, coughing, then realized he was completely naked.
You all right?
Allegra wrapped them together in the blanket.
Basically.
He blinked his roasted eyes. A tenant rushed forward, slowed as she got closer.
I called the fire department.
She gave Kaufman the once-over, turned to Allegra.
Girl, you got lucky tonight.
As more residents gathered, Kaufman began to feel increasingly conspicuous. Someone offered Allegra a robe, which allowed him to bundle the coverlet sufficiently about himself. Should have thrown it over his head.
Let me see.
Allegra had caught sight of his hands. He held them out to her. They were seared.
We gotta get you to a hospital.
He was trying to process the incident. Couldn't piece it together. Had to clear his brain. The siren snapped him too.
Listen, Al. There's going to be cops here soon, and they're not going to enjoy seeing me. Now, you'll be fine, but I'm...
Like hell you are. You going to leave me?
She pushed him away.
Now?
The sirens grew louder.
Christ almighty,
he cursed under his breath.
I'll be back in a minute.
It took him 4 minutes, but there he was. Pants and shirt on, shoes and purse in a shopping bag, and a couple of dresses slung over his arm. He handed her the bag.
No time to check if I got everything, but it should hold you. Let's breeze.
Where?
I haven't got a clue.
Chapter 49.
Allegra Dupree, meet Emmanuel Goldstein.
Goldstein puffed up his cheeks, let out a pin stream of air, and took Allegra's hand.
A pleasure to meet you, Ms. Dupree. Do come in.
Who is it, honey bun? Everything okay?
Charlene leaned around the bedroom door. She was wearing a man's Oxford, buttoned to the collar.
Honey bun?
Kaufman muttered.
For crying out loud, Mo! This one is for the books,
Goldstein whined, adjusting the sash on his bathrobe. Fuzzy and pink, but a decent fit.
Everything's swell, kitten, he called out. It's a couple of friends of mine just come in from out of town.
But it's 4 in the morning.
I called Goldie yesterday, Kaufman fainted. He said if he wasn't at the Y, he might be with his steady. We expected to get in earlier, but
Allegra interjected.
Car trouble.
Yeah, car trouble.
Well, for God's sakes, somebody turn on a light. Honeybun, you should have told me we were expecting guests.
Must have slipped my mind, kitten. All I can think of is you.
Goldstein gave her a smooch on the cheek.
Charlene, I'd like you to meet...
Charlene flipped the switch and the room came alive.
Mr. Koffler?
She smacked Goldstein on the rear.
Honey bun, you got friends at Look magazine?
You sure smell nice.
Seemed the librarian flirted with anyone.
It's Schiaparelli. Gift from an admirer.
Allegra winked at Kaufman.
Nobody ever bought me Schiaparelli, or any perfume.
She stuck out her tongue at Goldstein.
So, you two are like a couple or something?
Come on, kitten, Goldstein warned. You're fishing in protected waters.
I guess it might seem a little unusual, Allegra confided. But in Hollywood, anything goes, right?
We just don't want to advertise it, Kaufman said. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course,
she giggled and handed Allegra a mug, sambled over to Kaufman and licked her lips.
Sure you don't want anything, Mo?
A razor would be handy, if you don't mind.
Goldstein leapt up.
I'll show him, kitten.
And whisked his partner away.
So, this is the same guy what dogged you?
I think he's been on me since day one. I got careless again. Lost my head.
Could have lost your hands, too. Need help?
Kaufman was struggling with the razor, dropped it again on the tiles. Goldstein reached down from his perch on the pot, handed back the blade, watched as Kaufman continued to scrape away at the beard, making faces in the mirror.
Oughta get your mitts fixed, proper.
Yeah, yeah. Once I take care of... whatever. Don't know about trawling Newport Hospital, though. Police might actually be doing their job.
There's doctors in Providence, too.
Okay, sure. I'll check in tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Why not today?
Horizon House, did you forget? Still gotta get me a tux.
Get a brain first. Somebody wants you dead, Mo. Get out of here.
Kaufman's jaw clamped.
You know I can't do that, Goldie.
Goldstein bashed his temples with his fists.
Oi, you're making me my sugar.
Maybe we can meet up again, Sunday. You free?
Well, me and Charlene was planning a picnic, but sure.
Kaufman switched to his left hand. Didn't go much better.
She's all right, your librarian,
he said, raising his chin, trying not to slash his own throat.
Yeah, and your gal's an absolute knockout. Nice tan to boot. Should help plenty with your low profile.
I know. I'll take care of that, too. Damn it!
What, cut yourself? Here, give me the blade. It's too painful to watch.
Goldstein ran some hot water, surveyed the landscape.
Don't worry, I won't hurt you,
Goldstein said flatly. Kaufman turned away and hunched over the sink.
Jesus, she could have died. What the fuck am I doing?
Goldstein fiddled with the bow on his robe.
You got out okay, pal. You're okay. Allegra's okay. And she's sticking by you.
He lifted Kaufman by the shoulders, turned him back around.
I'm sticking by you.
I'm not worth it.
Says who?
Goldstein began to gently lather Kaufman's whiskers.
Huh? Says who?
I don't know.
Kaufman shook his head.
What would have I done, Goldie, if I didn't find you?
You found me. That's all that matters. And you and the gal are safe. Now lift your chin. That's better. You know, you'd make a swell Santa Claus.
I'm an insanity clause.
That too.
Goldstein rinsed the blade under the water, shook it dry.
So, how did you find me, detective?
The library. We broke in. Charlene's nameplate was on the desk. Legs looked it up in the phone book.
You vandalized the Redwood Library? Ooh, you are going straight to hell, my friend.
He took the razor and drew it carefully down Kaufman's sunken cheek. Allegra was resting in a wicker couch on the porch when Kaufman came out to face the dawn. He closed the screen door and cleared his throat.
So, Al, I was thinking you...
Charlene said I could camp here.
Yeah, good. Then maybe...
Goldie can take me back to my place, and then I'll file a report.
Could say
that Goldie was with me, since all whites look alike.
Good one. Should snug with the neighbor's accounts. And maybe he's...
A record producer interested in my wares. Got spooked and ran.
No one would question that. As for the fire...
It was an accident. Candle fell on the floor.
Sure beats arson. Cops won't push it further. Guess you got everything worked out.
Not everything.
She glanced up at him.
What about us?
He sat down, watched a milk truck pull up across the street.
I don't know how long I'll be in Europe, or how long before the case is wrapped. But
when it is wrapped, and it will be, Moses Kaufman, I'll need to know if you want to see me again.
His hands throbbed, dangling by his sides. He lifted them, surgeon style.
It's not safe, he said.
You're telling me?
The milkman was carrying a wire basket full of jingly bottles. He had on a gray cap with the visor down and looked at his feet as he shuffled over the doorstep.
We gotta call it quits, Al,
Kaufman said.
Nobody wants to see some white guy holding hands with a colored gal. Somebody's always going to be gunning for us. Go on tour. Have fun. Forget about me.
I'm tough enough. I can take it, if you can. She took his chin in her hand and yanked his face towards hers.
It's over, he said firmly. I can't let you get hurt.
The air seeped out of her like a punctured tire. I'm hurting already, Mo, she said softly.
Me too, kiddo. Me too.
Well, there you have it, folks. Episode 7, Kaufman's Holiday, Part 2. The Man in the Tunnel, Chapters 45 to 49. Is this it for Kaufman and Allegra? Does a noir have a happy end? Once again, a special thanks to Chris Durian for our theme song, Case Closed. That's it, playing under my effervescent narration. And to Arthur Rosen for those exquisite piano solos that stitch all the pieces together. You can hear a bit more from him in a couple of minutes. Meanwhile, you ought to know that Sunday Night Noir is hosted by Radio Free Brooklyn, and they're a swell bunch who could sure use a good turn. That means help. So how about it? Go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. You can also sponsor a show, like Kaufman's Holiday, for instance. It'd be a mitzvah. All right, then. This is Matt Mittler signing off. But I'll be back. You'll hear me coming. My floor chimes clacking on the cobblestones.